Well, Philippians chapter 4 is your pastor's favorite chapter in the Bible. If I had to choose one out of many, many, many favorites, and something about it, it's always been special to me. So, amen. But I'm going to be preaching here, reading from the first few verses. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Dias, and beseech Syntek, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Don't you want your name to be in the book of life? Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated tonight. The Apostle Paul was a church planner. That's what he did. That was his life. That was his ministry. And if you follow the Apostle Paul's missionary journeys, we see that everywhere he went, he was planting churches. He was starting new churches. When he went to a new area, he was not there for vacation. It was to plant a church. And he would find people. He would connect with people. And he would start churches and homes. And they would begin to meet. And they begin to pray. And he would work and disciple them. And then he would move on to another place. And those churches remained after he left. So the Apostle Paul was a church planter. Now, we read today in Philippians, Paul had a special bond, it seems, with the church in Philippi that he was writing to in what we read here tonight. He spoke very fondly of them. In the verses that we read, he calls the people in the church there, he says, they're my brethren dearly beloved and longed for. And he says, my joy and my crown. And again, he says, my dearly beloved. We can clearly see here his expression of love towards them. And I want to tell you, in the church, it's good that brotherly love go along with brotherly or sisterly relation. Amen. I'm thankful for the family of God. I'm thankful for the church that is the family of God. And so we need brotherly love in the church. You know, if we can't love our church family, then we're missing what this is all about. We're missing what the church is supposed to be that Jesus Christ gave his life for. And so Paul had brotherly love towards them. It was so sincere, so deep. Paul took pleasure in them. He looked on them as his brethren, even though he was a great apostle. But he considered them fellow laborers in the gospel, and he loved them. He rejoiced in them. He calls them his joy. They were a crown of joy to the Apostle Paul. Clearly, he felt that people in the church there at Philippi, they represented his crowning work, his greatest accomplishment of his life. And of course, that gave him great joy to see them continuing on in the faith even after he left. Now, there are some people in every church that are like these Philippian Christians. There are some people in every church all around the world that are like these Philippian Christians. They are the crown of joy to the pastor. They make the church go. They bring joy to all that they are around. And the church just couldn't get along well without them. And there should be a desire in every single one of us that we want to be these type of people. And so tonight I speak to you about people needed in the church. People needed in the church. Turn to somebody and say, you're needed in the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. First of all, every church needs people who are faithful. Everybody say faithful. Amen. This is actually the calling upon our lives. Many want to be great in the kingdom. They want to be great, but God wants us to be faithful. Faithful. Isn't it something how, you know, people, they'll do whatever it takes to be great, whatever it takes to be noticed, whatever it takes to be a great person. But what the Lord is looking for is people who are faithful. The master is going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. So everyone wants to be great, but there are some who will be faithful. They'll be there for every service. Amen. They'll be there for prayer meeting and they'll show up for work days. You can rely on them and you don't have to wonder where they're at because they're faithful. They're faithful. Amen. And they serve in ministry for others. You can count on them being there. They're accountable. They're faithful. They give faithfully. They invite people to church. They're a pillar of the church. They're dependable. They're faithful. Praise the Lord. Every church needs people like that. Amen. Every pastor needs people in the church like that. Praise the Lord. Every city needs people in the church who are faithful because their faithfulness helps their church reach the lost. Amen. Their faithfulness brings a stability to the church where we can fulfill the ministry and the calling of what God has given us to do. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2, "Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover," he says, "it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So we have been entrusted today in the work of the ministry, in the work of the church. It's a very valuable thing. It's a very valuable thing. We are servants of Jesus Christ. We're stewards, Paul said, of the mysteries of God. And so it's our duty to help care for the church. As stewards, we're to care for the work of God while the master's gone. He's left us here as stewards of his work, and we are responsible for what we've been entrusted with. And it's required that we be found faithful. I want to tell you, there are some who, you know, they'll blow through here or there. They might make a big splash every once in a while, and you never know. They might show up and surprise us here tonight all of a sudden. But God is looking for those who are faithful. Hallelujah. God's looking for those who are faithful. Years ago, as a new pastor, I was struggling with some in the church that they were just absolutely determined to not be committed. You know, there are people like that. Nobody here tonight. But they were just determined they were not going to be faithful. And it was very, very, very discouraging and just depressing to a pastor, a new pastor for sure. And it was during that time that someone related to me the structure and scaffolding example. And in construction, when a building is built, scaffolding is also erected around the structure in order to help workers build that building. And the scaffolding can be helpful, but it's not part of the building. Not part of the building. And once the construction is finished, the scaffolding goes away. But the structure remains. You see, there's some people, they're just, no matter what you try to do, they're never going to be part of the structure. They're scaffolding. They're never going to fully commit. They'll help here and there. They'll do what they can to be a blessing. They'll give some, and when they come, they'll help the attendance numbers, but you can never count on them to be part of the structure. That's not what we want to be tonight, amen? We want to be part of this. We want to be dependable and reliable and firm and steady and trustworthy. Hallelujah. We want to be faithful. And that's what every church needs, is people who are faithful. Second, we need people in the church who have vision. Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We've got to have vision. Some people, they just get it. They see the bigger picture. Amen. They realize everything is not just about the current situation, but they realize we're headed somewhere. They've got vision for what God is going to do. There's great things in store. They have the ability to just kind of step back from the current situation and get the big picture. These are people that instead of everything being about them, they realize there's much more to life. And they see others. They know that the purpose of the church is to reach others. When God began dealing with me about coming to be pastor of this great church, he gave me a vision for what could be. And while we're thankful for all that God has done, we can't get hung up just on the past, because we've only begun. Amen. We've only begun. And it's more than just about what God has done in the past. It's more than just about this location, in fact. Thank God for a great facility and for a great location and for what God is, wonderful things that God is doing here. But the vision that God, I believe, has for this church is that we would build a strong mother church in Springfield here, and that then we would launch out and launch other campuses and other daughter churches all over Southwest Missouri. We believe that's what the vision is that God has given us. Praise the Lord. And so we need people that can catch the vision for the future. Amen. We need people that get the vision of what God wants to do or of what can be by faith. Amen. A vision for something that's bigger than what we can do on our own, but with God, anything is possible. Hallelujah. Amen. And to catch that vision, we can't constantly be looking at just ourselves. Because if we're so self-absorbed, we'll miss what God's going to do. Others. Others. That's got to be where our focus is. You see, a great church will never be built on people who are just in it for themselves. Amen. It's got to be about others. Our purpose is not just to build a social club where we all come and just enjoy one another's company. And thank God for that company. And thank God for that fellowship. But our purpose is greater than that. And we've got to have a vision that we're here to reach the lost. We're here to reach this city for Jesus Christ. We're here. Our purpose is to share the good news of the gospel, to see people come into the church and be born again and their lives transformed by the power of God. Our purpose is to bring hope and life to a dying world. That's the vision that we've got to have for the church. Oh, we need people in the church who have vision. Amen, amen. See, when we have vision, we don't live just for today, but we live for the future. Young people with vision realize, hey, we're going to plant churches. That means we're going to need musicians and praise singers and Sunday school teachers and Bible study teachers and ushers and greeters. And so they say, you know what? Train me. I want to learn. Because I realize that we can't, maybe we can't use everybody in one service here, but we're going to have a church over here, and we're going to plant a daughter work over there, and we're going to need ushers over there and musicians, and we're going to have to send a team over there. And so people with vision say, you know what? I want to learn. I want to be available so when God opens the door, I'm prepared. Amen. Don't wait until that day. Don't wait until that time, but have vision to see into the future and say, you know what? I'm going to prepare today, because it could just be that God's going to open the door. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's looking for people who are faithful. God's looking for those who would have vision. Third, we need people in the church who know how to pray. They know how to pray. People who have a daily prayer life, a daily prayer life. People that know how to touch God with their prayers. It's not just something that's real light and just real casual and, And but it's something they really know how to touch the throne of God with their prayers. The church needs people who've prayed and they've seen their prayers answered. Amen. And so when there's a need that comes up, they know without any doubt that God is going to answer. And so they go to the altar full of faith and their prayers change things. Every church needs people who know how to pray and see things happen. Hallelujah. That's a great key to the revival for this church is prayer. Prayer. Now we have a lot of prayer around here, okay? We have pre-service prayer. We have Tuesday prayer. We have church family prayer the first Saturday of the month. We have prayer during our services. We've got prayer during our small groups. We have prayer during youth meetings, you know, and all of that. But when people discover the power of daily prayer in their own lives, that opens a dimension of the power of God that we will never see otherwise. Amen. And I know that we've been focusing on that, and Sister McCoy even hit that here tonight, but we've got to each have a calling, a burden for prayer, a daily habit of prayer in our lives. You can tell when you meet praying people. You can tell when you meet someone who prays. There's just something different about them. And they have an understanding of the things of the Spirit. It's like there's a warmth of the Holy Ghost that's just about them, and you can feel it, you sense it. There's a depth there that you don't find with others. And praying people have discovered the answer to absolutely everything in life, prayer. It's the power of daily prayer. Every church needs people who have a daily prayer life. These are people who have sacrificed their time, but you know what? Is it really sacrifice? Is it really sacrifice? Because the more that they pray, the more they desire to pray. Hallelujah. And the more their prayers are answered from heaven, the more they bring to the Lord in prayer. And prayer becomes such a part of their daily life that if they miss their time of prayer, it's like missing a meal. And something's just not right, and they can't go on through the day until they make time for the Lord. They hunger for that time spent in the presence of God, and they've learned to hear the voice of God, and God knows their voice, and He answers their prayers. Hallelujah. The pastor can't be the only one in the church who prays, obviously. The pastor's wife can't carry the burden of prayer for the church. Now, they should certainly lead in it. I believe that. But only when enough others get a burden for prayer and make prayer a priority, enough others that the balance in the Spirit is shifted. Come on, we've got to shift the balance in the Spirit through prayer. And there's got to be more who are praying every day than those who are not praying. Hallelujah. And when that balance is shifted, there's a momentum that is created. And there are mighty miracles that will happen. There's supernatural things that will take place, all because of the power of prayer. This church needs people who will rise to the opportunity for daily prayer. For daily prayer. Hallelujah. I'll just be honest with you. This pastor needs people who will carry that daily burden of prayer. This city has many souls who need somebody that's going to stand in the gap and pray every single day for the lost to be saved. This church needs people who will pray. There's so many other things that we can spend time on. But I want to tell you what, you will never, ever, ever regret spending time in prayer. Hallelujah. And next, the church can't make it without people who are willing. People who are willing. Willing people are needed in every church. See, every church has some willing people. Oh, there's some who are willing to work and willing to serve, and there's others who are willing to let those people do all the work and all the serving. Too often in churches, there are those who they're willing to do the work of the world, but they're not willing to do the work of the Lord. And the club calls them, and the school PTA calls, and the sports team calls, and they're ready and they're willing, but the Lord calls, and, oh, I'm too busy. Help us, Lord. The church calls, and, well, I got some stuff to do. The pastor calls, and they find an excuse. It's kind of like the man who told his pastor, he said, well, you know, I'm not going to come to church this Sunday because that's the only time I have for my family. And so, why is that? Because he gave all the other days to everything else. And then he thought he'd give the Lord's day to his family. I want to tell you what God wants and what the church needs are people who are willing to make some adjustments so that the church and the Lord have priority. Hallelujah. You know, the other things of life are going to pass away. The other things of life are going to pass away, but the things of Christ are going to last forever. Mark 8:35 declares, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Priorities. I'm all for hobbies. I'm all for clubs and organizations that do good things. And, you know, I think that we should be a positive impact in our schools, and we should be involved with everything that we can and all of that. But there ought to be a willingness in our hearts that we're going to put the things of God first. Amen. And when it comes to serving in His church, we're willing. I'm willing, Lord. It doesn't have to be a big place. It doesn't have to be a place that's going to get a lot of attention, Lord. It doesn't have to be a place that everybody else wants. Just find me some little place in the kingdom. Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. Just use me, Lord. Wherever you want to put me, I'm willing. The church needs people who are willing. Praise the Lord. Is anybody willing to say, God, here I am. I'm willing. Just use me, Lord. Just put me wherever you want me, God. Lord, just put me on the team. I don't care where it's got to be, but Lord, just put me on the team because I'm willing. I'm willing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the church needs optimistic people. Optimistic people. Oh, we can't do that, some people say. Or, well, we've never done that before. What the church needs are people who say, you know what, with God's help, we'll do it. Hallelujah. You know what? If God's on our side, then we're going to make it happen. Hallelujah. I just kind of feel a little faith in the house right now. We've got some optimists here. I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but Lord, we're going to find a way, and we're going to pray until something happens, and we're going to worship until something breaks, and we're going to give until there's a miracle, and we're going to believe you for it, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just kind of feel that God's looking for some people who are optimistic, that they have enough faith to say, Lord, I can't do it alone, but I'm going to stand upon your promises, and we're going to pray the prayer of faith, and we're going to move forward. We're going to take a step of faith, and we're going to believe you for it, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Moses was leading God's people toward the promised land, and it was promised to them. It was already decided by God. This plan was already put in motion. They just had to get there. When they came to the point that it was time for them to go in and possess the land, God told Moses to pick out 12 men and send them in to look over the land and bring back a report of how to best go in. So the 12 men go, and they found the land to be more than what they had heard of and to be more than their wildest dreams. But 10 of them came back, and they said all they could see was that the enemy was like giants, and that they were like grasshoppers in their sight. Now, 2, Joshua and Caleb said, you know what? That's true. That is true. But God is on our side. And with His help, we're going to make it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, unfortunately, at that point in time, the pessimists won out, which meant they had to go and wander around the wilderness for 40 years. But look who went in to possess the land. Joshua and Caleb, they were optimists. And God said, I like their spirit, and they're going to go and possess the land. Hallelujah. When we look at the task before us, when we look at the job that God has given us, I want to tell you it is huge. It is absolutely huge. By ourselves, there is no way that we could do it. I'll just be honest. We don't have the resources. We don't have the volunteers. We don't have all the money to see it happen. The challenge is very great, and the enemy is strong. By ourselves, it is absolutely impossible. But I've got a little report for you here today. We're not by ourselves. We're not by ourselves. God is on our side, and He has the resources, and He has the ability. He knows where the people are that we're going to need to make this happen. He has all the money. Come on, He has all the silver. He's got all the gold. And more than that, He's already defeated the enemy. God is on our side. He just needs some people that will say, I'm an optimist. And I believe it can happen with the Lord's help. A few people that will have faith. A few that are willing to stand. And God will make it happen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's plenty of pessimists in the world today. They're all full of doom and gloom. But what the church needs are some people who have optimism. Amen. Who will stand on the promises of God and declare that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Every church needs some optimists. Amen. Number 6, the church needs people who are givers. Everybody say givers. One day Jesus, He was sitting by the treasury. Sometimes we've marched around and, you know, brought our offering to the Lord. Well, that must have been how they did it. And so He was sitting there. He was just sitting there by the treasury watching people who gave in the offering. And there was some men who came by, and they dropped in some pretty big envelopes. And they probably gave it in a way that, you know, everybody could see how much was in there. And, you know, they wanted everybody to see how much they were giving. I can just, you know, kind of imagine with me, okay, you know, and somebody says, oh, well, did you see how much Mr. Abraham gave over there? He must really love the Lord in order to give so much. Then there was a little woman who, she was a widow. She comes and she just drops a few coins in. I'm sure she was sorry that she didn't have more to give. And nothing was said about her little gift. But Jesus, who saw the woman, and He saw her gift, and He knew her situation more than that, and He knew her heart. He said, she's given all she had. He measured her gift by how much was left over. Every church needs people who are givers. It's not about how much is given. God works on percentages, okay? And some have more than others, and that's fine. But God looks at the heart, and it's not about the monetary amount, but God does look at percentages. You see, the thing is, those who are givers, they're never satisfied with how much they're able to give. because they want to give more. And it brings joy when they can give more. And God loves a cheerful giver. And so he makes a way for cheerful givers to be able to give more. It's like a farmer that goes to put out seed expecting a harvest. And, you know, one farmer plants just a little seed. Well, he's going to have a little harvest. But another farmer goes out and he plants a lot of seed. He's going to have a lot of harvest. We use a spiritual giftings test here and to try to get people involved in ministries that fit their giftings and all of that. And one of those spiritual gifts listed is the spiritual gift of giving. Giving. The gift of giving, I believe it's a God-given strength or ability for someone to give in order to advance the kingdom of God on this earth. And some people have this gift. There are people here that you have gone and you realize you have the gift of giving. And they love to give. I believe that's one gifting that God has given me. I can truly say it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And it's a joy. It is an absolute joy. And while we may not have any rich people here in our church, okay? All right, and you're looking around trying. We may not have any rich people here, but we certainly can't make it without giving people. People who are faithful in tithe and in offerings. People that are willing to give sacrificially when there's a need. People that support missions and building fund and all the different ministries that we give to financially. I want to tell you, thank God for giving people in this church. Every church must have people that are givers, and there's no better way to judge our heart or to gauge our heart than how we give, how we give. And remember, it's not about equal giving, okay? But it's equal sacrifice. We're in this together. We're in this together. Some may be able to give more than others. It's not about the amount that is given. It's about what's left over. It's what percentage. It's not equal giving. It's equal sacrifice. And when people give like that, we will have a church that pleases God, and God uses us to bless hundreds and to bless thousands all around the world, even through missions giving and other programs we're involved in, because God's looking for people that are willing to be givers. When we're willing to be a giver, God says, okay, that's a person that I can channel my blessings through. Sometimes people, they get a blessing and they hold on to it. And there's no room for more. But there's other people, they become a channel for the blessings of God to flow through, and it literally flows through, and God just keeps on bringing it through because they keep on giving. Amen. There's people in every church, at every great church, that they have a calling, and they have a blessing, and they have a gifting of being a giver. And finally, number 7, every church needs people who are Spirit-led. Spirit-led. If we're not Spirit-led, then what's leading us? If we're not led by the Spirit of God, then what is leading us? Either our flesh or the devil. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot's blamed on the devil, okay? There's a lot blamed on the devil. He's in bad shape right now because a lot's been blamed on him that he didn't have anything to do with, okay? Most of the time, the problem's with our flesh. It's not the devil. He didn't even know anything about it until after the fact. It was just our flesh. But the devil, he uses people that are controlled by their flesh to hinder the work of God. Did you know the flesh will never lead us closer to God? The flesh is never going to prompt us to go pray. The flesh is not going to say, hey, go early to church tonight because you can get to the prayer room. No, the flesh is going to be like, you know what, it's been a long day. I could just stay home tonight and watch online. No offense. If the flesh was talking to you, I just called you out. Amen. If you're sick, please stay home, okay? If you're sick, please stay home. But the flesh never prompts us to do more for God. The flesh never burdens us for the lost. The flesh never says, hey, why don't you fast today? No, not my flesh, okay? Can we be honest? If we were less led of the flesh and more led of the Spirit, we'd have a better church, every single one of us. If we learned to walk in the Spirit instead of walking in our flesh, we'd have more miracles. We'd have more times that we were in the right place at the right time. We'd have more open doors. We'd see more revival. Now, we'll always have to deal with carnal people, okay? And there will be some that they're just carnal, and the devil will try to use them to stop revival. He'll use them to sow discord and to create division and confusion. But every church needs people who are led of the Spirit. They are led of the Spirit of God, and they don't fall to the enemy's tactics. And when somebody led of the flesh tries to sidetrack them, they don't even miss a beat because they just keep on moving forward because they're led of the Spirit of God. And when somebody that's led of the devil tries to sow discord and confusion and gossip, it's like they don't even hear it. They just keep right on marching on because they're not led of the flesh. They're not led of the devil. They're led of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Jesus gave some instructions to his disciples in Matthew 10:16. He said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I'll just be honest. Some people, they're just absolutely clueless. They don't realize what's leading them until it's too late. And they think, oh, well, this person, they've been in the church all their life, and so surely they got a good heart, and surely those stories they told me about that other person were true, and why would they lie about them? And oh, what they told me about the pastor, that's got to be true, and because you know, and they're clueless, not realizing what spirit is behind things, and then they're in the trap of the enemy. If we are led of the Spirit, God will lead us around the traps of the enemy. If we're led of the Spirit, in fact, there may be some people that used to be our friends, and God says, you know what? You're going to have to sever that relationship because they're not led of the Spirit. They're not going where you're going. In fact, there's some times that God may lead us around a trap and we didn't even realize there was a trap there, but he detoured us right around it. Every church needs people who are led of the Spirit. They know what it's like to pray and get a word from heaven. They know what it's like to deny their flesh and to seek after the things of God. Oh, they know how to ignore all the noise around them and listen to that still, small voice. Hallelujah. If we've never heard the voice of God, if we've never felt the leading of His Spirit, then how can we follow Him? We need to be spiritual people that are led by the Spirit of God and where we know His voice. Come on, His sheep know His voice. We've got to develop a sensitivity to the things of God. And it may take years to develop it, but we're not going to be deceived by another voice because we're His sheep. We're the sheep of His pasture. And we recognize His voice. And we recognize other voices. And we're not going to be led astray because we're led of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Every church needs people who are led of the Spirit. Every church needs people who are in tune with the Holy Ghost. Every church needs people who can say, wait, something's not right in the Spirit. I don't know what I'm feeling here, but it's not right. Have you ever met somebody and all of a sudden something inside of you did not like something that was inside of them? And you met them for the first time, they were maybe nice on the outside, but something inside, that's not right. Every church needs people who are Spirit-led. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? Paul, he often wrote of those who were fellow workers in the church. fellow laborers in Christ, people that he depended on, those who were valuable to the church, people that are needed in every church. And there ought to be a desire in our hearts to have those qualities in us, to be people who are valuable to the kingdom of God. Of course, everyone is valuable in the kingdom, okay? I'm not saying that, but there are some. They just go the extra mile. They go the extra mile. And that must be why Paul, he showed such affection for the Philippian church. You can see it in his letter. You read the other letters to the other churches and you read the letter to the Philippians, it's different. He showed his affection towards them more than he did for some others. There were some other churches he probably wasn't real happy with. But he had a special love and closeness for those in Philippi. And I just, I don't know that God has favorites, but I want this church to have a special relationship with the Lord. I want God to have a special place in his heart for this church. Praise the Lord. I don't know, because I just believe that there are people that we've done our best to be people who bless the church, and we've served the church, and we help it go forward, and we help it be successful so that we reach this whole area for Jesus Christ. People needed in the church, in this church, in every church. Those who are faithful. Amen. Those people who have a vision. People who have learned the power of daily prayer. People who are willing, optimist, givers, liberal, cheerful givers. And those who are led of the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Tonight, I wonder if we could pray, God. I want to be one of those pillars in the church. I want to be those that you're happy with, Lord. I want to be one of those that when you think of me, there's pleasure that comes to your heart. Amen. God, I want to bring you glory. I want to bring you honor and praise. And so, God, help me. Help me to be the people that you need. Help me to be the person that you need in this church at this time, at this hour, to see end time revival. Is anybody, would you just be willing to lift your hands and say, God, here I am. I pray that you'd work on me. Help me to be faithful, God. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be dependable. Help me to be reliable in the kingdom of God, Lord. Let me be trustworthy so that you can trust me as a good steward, as a faithful steward. Lord, I pray that you would move upon us with a burden of prayer. I pray that you would call us to another level in the Spirit through prayer, Lord. God, let there be a daily habit of prayer. Let me grow so close to you, Lord, that I can't make it one day without spending time in your presence. Lord, I pray that you would minister and move. Let there be a burden that rests upon us, O God, to push aside the things of this world and to get close to you in your presence. Let us be willing, Lord. Let us have a willing heart. Let us have a willing mind to do whatever you've called us to do, to just be used wherever you want us in the kingdom. Oh, God, I thank you for what you're doing in this church. I pray, Lord, that you would minister through us. Lord, I pray that you would let there be a calling for people in this house, that they would be givers, that they would be a channel that your blessings and your provision can flow through, God, that you would use them, give them that gift of giving, I pray. We give you the glory for it, Lord. We worship you for it right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.